Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good morning. This is the Morning News with Nancy and Jason on WILK. We're happy to have Dr. Denise Johnson, Pennsylvania's Physician General, with us to discuss the COVID-19 vaccine. Thanks for being with us, Dr. Johnson.
My pleasure.
Let's talk a little bit about vaccine hesitancy, which a common question that we get is, why would I get a vaccine if I'm at low risk for serious issues from COVID? Now, seeing that the FDA has okayed the Pfizer vaccine for kids aged 12 to 15, how do you answer a question like that? These are people least likely to have serious problems from COVID, so why should they get vaccinated?
Well, that's a great question. I think that there is concern that the people who don't have risks don't see the urgency to get vaccinated. But having people who are not vaccinated does affect all of us. So having people who aren't vaccinated leaves a reservoir for the virus to continue to multiply and mutate. And so we have more variants emerging. As these variants emerge, we are concerned that we are going to get variants that are not as responsive to the treatments that we have for COVID, as well as to the vaccine. So having more people vaccinated, there's less chance of these variants emerging and affecting and undermining all of the great things that we're doing.
Let's talk about the side effects. We got a number of texts from people who said that their kids getting this vaccine, it concerned them what kind of side effects they might have.
Sure. Well, with the Pfizer approval that you just referenced, they did look at side effects for the kids. And so the kids were having the same sort of side effects that we've heard from adults. So the soreness of the arm, some have fevers, some have some achiness as well. These things are just transient and they do go away. When they looked at the kids within the studies, I think they had a little bit more fever than the adults, but that's pretty typical with kids with vaccines, but didn't see any more severe or different side effects than the adults. And as you know, we've had, 100 million people who have received vaccines.
What about other vaccines? Because I'm also hearing from parents whose kids, you know, are just getting their regular vaccines. What is the recommendation between a COVID-19 vaccine and another routine vaccine a young person may get?
So for right now, the recommendation is there shouldn't be another vaccine within 2 weeks of the COVID vaccine. Again, just because we haven't had experience where we're combining it, we know that when kids get vaccines, they can get several of them together at the same time. But right now, the recommendation is to wait 2 weeks after getting another vaccine before you get your COVID vaccine and vice versa.
All right. So another thing we hear a lot from our listeners is they say they're not comfortable with the fact that this vaccine is emergency use authorization. Their concern is that it seems rushed and that there hasn't been adequate time to know if there's actually going to be serious, you know, issues down the line. When you hear things like that, what is the response you have?
Well, a few responses. The first one is in terms of the trials that these vaccines underwent, it's the same as the trials that we do for anything. So they have the three phases of clinical trials. In the trial for the vaccines, specifically for Pfizer and Moderna, they had 40,000 people that they tested these with, which is much larger than we normally do for anything that we've had. The reason for the emergency use authorization is we're in a pandemic right now and we need to get people vaccinated. Usually for the full approval, they continue with getting 6 months worth of data after proving that the vaccines are safe and effective. Pfizer has already submitted for the full authorization, so they're working through that process now. But the reason for cutting through the red tape in terms of approval is to get these out there while we're in the middle of a pandemic, and we really need to have some tools in there to get us past it.
Now, in response to that, though, people will say, well, we don't know. There's no way to know for sure. There's absolutely no way to know for sure that in 5, 10, 15 years, bad things aren't going to happen. Is it impossible to know?
Sure. I mean, we can't know about 15 years down the line. But what we do know is that when you receive these vaccines, you get the vaccine and your body makes an immune response. The vaccine is then gone from you. You don't have any vaccine components remaining in you to cause other effects that are going on. What we also know is that some people, even with mild COVID, do have what they call long-term COVID. And so these are evident in older people, but even in younger people, we have seen heart issues later on, problems with memory, and sometimes with other symptoms that they may have long term. And so we know that COVID has long term symptoms and side effects for some people. So those are things that we absolutely know. We know that there's nothing left in you after the vaccine stimulates your immune system. And so the benefits, I think we all feel, weigh the possible risks, especially knowing that that vaccine is gone from your system in a short period of time.
Now, if I had COVID-19, or someone does, how long should the wait be until they get this vaccine? I guess there have been some confusion over that.
So once you've recovered from COVID and you're no longer in the infectious stage, you could get the vaccine right away. And it's recommended because we know with the vaccine you have a good, reliable immune response that seems to be at least this far pretty long-lasting. So we definitely recommend that. Now, if you had COVID and you had to have some of the treatments like the convalescent plasma or the monoclonal antibody therapy, we recommend that you wait 90 days before you get the vaccine. And that's because those treatments give you antibodies to clear that COVID virus. And so those will be circulating in you for a while. And so we're not sure how well you'll mount an immune response when you have those therapies in place. So as long as you didn't get one of those therapies, as soon as you're recovered and no longer infectious, it's recommended that you get the vaccine.
We have heard from people who are hesitant, who had COVID, who say, I have a natural immunity because I had COVID, that I don't need the vaccine. How would you respond to that?
So, again, with the natural immunity, we have looked at the antibody titers for people who had natural COVID as well as those who've had the vaccine. So the vaccine produces a higher level of immunity. We know that there are some cases of people who have had COVID and have been reinfected. Those numbers are small, but we know that the vaccine gives you a reliable high titer of antibodies, and that should give you more protection. And then, of course, we are concerned about, the variants that are circulating. And, you know, again, getting more people vaccinated as soon as we can should increase the emergence of those variants.
We are talking with Pennsylvania Physician General Dr. Denise Johnson. Dr. Johnson, states have been significantly reducing the amount of the vaccine. So for the people who have been putting it off, my question is it going to get harder to get it eventually?
Well, no, I don't think that's going to be an issue, because I think that most states now are changing their strategies. Once we had the high throughput vaccination clinics to get as many people vaccinated as quickly as we can. Now that we see that we've satisfied a lot of that demand, most states are taking vaccine closer to people. So more primary care physicians and independent pharmacies in your communities are also looking at some unusual places, and some have done vaccinations in malls and other areas, certainly reached out to people who are homebound or in other living situations to make sure that the vaccine then is more convenient. So we're taking vaccine out in smaller quantities to get them closer to people, so that we are reaching people who are not able to get to those large vaccination clinics.
All right. So some of these questions came from listeners who've texted in multiple times, but people say, what happened to the flu? The flu numbers are way down this year and COVID keeps spreading. What is the reason? Is it proof that masks work or masks don't work?
Well, I think that it shows that the strategies that we've taken to avoid this infectious virus are the same sort of strategies that work for the flu. So people have been doing a lot more hand hygiene than they were. They are masking. They are socially distancing. We always knew that those sort of measures would help to decrease the flu, but those are not things that we have done on a large scale before. We also know that COVID is highly infectious, and I think during the pandemic, we learned a lot more about COVID, but I think we didn't appreciate early on how much it spreads airborne, and how much being in an indoor place that doesn't have much ventilation really can contribute to the spread of COVID. So we have a very infectious virus here, and so that taking some of these measures really have decreased the flu, but COVID has been a challenge. But I know for sure that the measures that we've taken, masking, social distancing, have lessened the impact that we could have had with COVID if we didn't have any of those things in place.
We are talking with Pennsylvania Physician General Dr. Denise Johnson. This is a big question that we get, especially now with the 12 to 15, even 16 to 18-year-olds. For women of childbearing age, there are allegations that COVID vaccine could mess up the menstrual cycle. There are even some who say it can make you infertile. Can you address that?
Absolutely. So first of all of the COVID vaccines that are available here in the United States do not have any COVID, and so you can't get COVID or you can't spread COVID from the vaccine. So that's certainly one point. The other point is in terms of messing up your menstrual period. Any woman knows that any stress on your body can affect your period. So mounting an immune response, whether to this vaccine or something else, very common to have an irregular cycle that does not affect your fertility in any way. And by the way, I'm an OBGYN physician, so this is very dear to my heart. The other thing is in terms of fertility. The American Society for Reproductive Medicine, as well as the American Society for Obstetricians and Gynecologists, and the Society for Maternal Fetal Medicine, all recommend vaccine for pregnant women and women who may become pregnant. As I said before, there is nothing of the vaccine that's left in your system. It stimulates your immune response, but then there's no vaccine remnant that's left in there to affect you going forward. So all of these societies feel very strongly that pregnant women should be afforded the vaccine. We want to have everyone protected, and pregnancy is certainly a vulnerable time.
Now, I want to ask a couple quick ones here. Rapid fire, I guess. These are things we hear, conspiracy theory-esque stuff. Will the vaccine change people's DNA?
No, that's the short answer. Absolutely not. Again, as I said, it stimulates your immune response, but there's not something in there that's going to be affecting your DNA.
Okay, I'm sorry I'm asking this one, but will they put a chip in you?
Yes.
They absolutely will not put a chip in you. There's no chip in this vaccine. And so, no. And I think that, you know, people are concerned about being tracking, but I think all of us carry around a tracking device all the time. Our phone has more information on us than anything else could. So, no, there's not a chip in there.
All right. This would, I guess, is going to require a slightly longer answer. Okay, we hear criticisms. Often the word lying gets thrown into this about the CDC or Dr. Fauci, some of their advice. They say it's changed. They can't keep their story straight over the course of this pandemic. Should the changing answers and changing recommendations make us question what they recommend?
Absolutely not. All of us know that, you know, this was called a novel coronavirus. So that, you know, when we first heard about it, there's so much information that we didn't know. We've got scientists throughout the United States and all across the world who have been working on this diligently for over a year. And as we get more information, there's more things that we find out that we didn't know before. You know, as I mentioned before, we did not know how much this was spread airborne. We did not know that the masks actually decreased, especially for asymptomatic people, the amount of virus that you're shedding, and therefore how much virus is you know, spreading to infect other people. So this has been an evolving process, and so that I think that people should realize that, you know, in the beginning, last year, this time, you know, there's so much that we didn't know. But as we get more information, then we should be changing. And I think you should be very suspect of people who have limited information, and that doesn't change, their perspective doesn't change when they get more information. So, yes, this has been an evolving process for all of us, and we have learned more things, and we've learned things that, you know, that we thought were so that turned out to not be as important. So, you know, this is normal for something that's new. As you incorporate new information, then you may have to change your tactics.
All right. For those who do get the vaccine, what are the chances that you still could get COVID, and can you spread it?
So, you know, again, I think a lot of that is evolving, but I think that a couple of weeks ago, of the, you know, 100 million people who have gotten vaccines, I think it was estimated a little over 9,000 had been positive for COVID. Now, I'm sure that that's undercounting a little bit, because some people may get COVID and not have any symptoms and so not notice at all. What we do know is that these vaccines, in terms of their effectiveness, has been tremendous compared to anything that we've ever had. In terms of safety, you know, again, knowing that, you know, 100 million people have gotten these vaccines, you know, the safety profile, again, compared to anything that we've ever had in the past, is phenomenal. So, yes, there are going to be some cases of COVID. Yes, there will be some hospitalizations. But if you look at 9,000 cases and, you know, the cases of hospitalizations are even less out of 100 million, you know, that's an outstanding safety profile.
And when they do, if they do contract it, it's obviously the illness is much, much less severe in most cases.
It is much less severe, much less hospitalizations and ICU, and, you know, ultimately death would be what we're concerned about. But again, we know that having these vaccines, even recently, we've seen that, you know, the over age 65, a lot of those people have been vaccinated. And so the new cases that we're seeing of COVID are in younger people and children. And so that those are the ones who hadn't been vaccinated to that level to this point. So we can see in real world examples that the vaccine is working.
Okay, so a final question here, and this is more, did we miss anything? Is there anything we didn't ask that you really want to bring up because maybe you're sick of answering it, or you just, you know, people need to know this information?
Well, I think people need to know that the vaccines are very, very safe, and compared to anything, even things that we do that are non-vaccine and medications that we take, these are extremely safe. We know that they're extremely effective, and even in the studies that they did with the kids to get the approval for Pfizer, the kids who got the vaccine, none of them got COVID. The ones that were in the other arm of the study, they had cases of COVID. So, you know, their conclusion is that this is highly, highly effective in the kids' age group, and of course in the adults as well. So it's safe and it's effective. And getting more people vaccinated is going to get us back to where we, close to where we were. So we'll be able to see friends, we'll be able to do things, we'll be able to be in groups of people. And if we have enough people vaccinated, even in groups of people who, for some reason are not able to get vaccinated, we'll still be able to feel safe. So, the vaccine does protect you, each individual, and the people that are close around you, but it protects other people as well. So, you know, I would say that, again, these are safe, they're effective, and we've got real-world experience with hundreds of millions of people who've gotten this vaccine or these vaccines, and it really can get our lives back, and I know that we're all ready for that.
Yes, we are. We've been talking with Dr. Denise Johnson, Pennsylvania's Physician General. Thank you so much for taking the time to answer our questions this morning. We really appreciate it.
Great. Thank you very much, and have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you. Thanks.